Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
On 102.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
Welcome back into the House of Mystery, and I am Al Warren. And
you are.
Yeah, I am. And this is Mr. Dave Martino, ex-baseball player, current karate champion of the House of Mystery.
That's right. How you doing now?
I'm doing okay. Well, actually, you and Holly should get into a contest.
A contest?
Yeah, because he still does all that karate.
Yeah, we'll do judo.
Oh, is there a difference?
Oh, there's a lot of difference, yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Different types of throws and, you know.
He just wears that white little robe and...
Well, his wife could beat both of us up, so.
Oh, I know. She's the champ. There's no competition there. So. You see the legs she's got? My God, they're like bricks.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, judo player.
Wow.
That's the foundation.
I'll say. My God. I tell you. And you know, and she's got to be close to 60 as well.
Yeah.
My God. Still in fascinating shape.
That's right.
You know?
Sort of like you. To do that to you.
Just like you.
That's right. Yeah. Well, if I get rid of this gut, you know.
Yeah. You'd have the same legs as her? You have the same legs?
Yeah. Well, you know. They're not bad. I have to shave them.
So does she. They're not naturally that way, you know.
Ah, yeah,
you didn't know. You didn't know that yet?
No, well, I know.
So our Friday, we've got a crazy show. We've got Mr. Jonathan Woods. With an S, bringing us his book called Hog Wild, or Singing Them Jig-Hog Blues. See, I'm just not Southern. I don't know. I'm Canadian. So, Jonathan, thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
So, I have to ask, because, you know, as Northern folk here, what is... Southern noir, like what's different about it? Like why is there a category called Southern noir?
Well, because there's a group of Southern writers who write noir.
Oh, I see. This is going to be how it's going to be. Okay.
Kind of, you know, it's kind of a similar title might be to refer to it as hillbilly noir or redneck noir.
Well, it's just, I know, and the reason I ask, I'm not, it's just that there's no Northern noir, right? So I was just trying to figure out, when I read a Southern noir book as compared to just a noir book, is it just about the area it's in and about some of the, I don't know what you call the way people talk or behave, or is it,
is that... Some degree. It's also, you know, I mean, the people are much nastier. I just finished reading, actually, an absolutely fabulous piece of Southern noir by a writer named Harry Cruz, who is deceased now. But he grew up in a tiny, tiny town in Georgia, and he somehow made it all the way to ending up as a professor at the University of Florida in Gainesville, and he wrote a bunch of novels and a very famous memoir. But the novel I just read is called A Feast of Snakes, and it's about a little town in Georgia where they have an annual rattlesnake hunt. And every character in the book is absolutely crazy, and it's an amazing book. I mean, I read a lot, and this book really kind of shocked me when it got to some of the violent scenes that occurred.
Wow. Shocked you. It must be serious here. Jeez. Well, I guess we can't get him on if he's dead.
Well, we could get a Ouija board out.
That's right.
Yeah. So are you saying that when we read one of your books, if someone picks up Jonathan Wood's books and reads one of them, what kind of experience are they in for?
Well, actually, I'm kind of a little bit different from Mr. Cruz in the sense that my books tend to be very funny. I mix the humor, a lot of humor, with crazy, crazy characters. My books move very fast. They're a very quick read. I guess I fancy myself what I would call a literary crime writer. So there's some fancy-dancy writing that you can, you know, get your brain around and might find amusing. And a good story, and my books are sometimes also, besides being called Southern Noir, they're sometimes called Gonzo Noir, after the famous journalist, the guy that shot himself into space. His body into space, and his name is eluding me. At the moment.
Yeah, I don't know. I never read anybody's stuff. I'm not a reader. I just do this for a living. Wow. So humor, when you put humor in it, is that even though there's some serious subject matter too, obviously, professional killer and stuff like this and going on in here. But when you do that, are you sensitive to where you put the humor and how you put it in, or do you think about it, or you just go wild?
Well, to me, humor is really an essential human mechanism that we have to distance ourselves from all the terrible things that go on in the world. So I think, from my perspective, you know, humor is an essential element of great writing, because if we didn't have humor, I think a lot of us would just put a gun to our head and say, I'm leaving. So some of my Hog Wild is actually my wildest book, so some of the humor is very over the top. There's, you know, a lot of sexual play going on, very humorously approached and so forth. By the way, the name I was looking for, Gonzo, was Hunter Thompson.
Ah, that's right.
Not Gonzo Journalist.
Oh, was he a writer too?
I don't remember.
Well, you know, talking about humor and comedy, do you, in the same vein, do you feel like you need maybe like comedic timing to pull off comedy within the prose of the novel itself?
Yeah, I'm not sure that it's the same kind of thing. I mean, stand-up is, you know, quick lines, bam, 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 one after the other, just keep them rolling in the aisles. And I don't know. I'm telling a story. I mean, in a way, this is a kind of an adventure story. It's about a guy who goes, a sniper, ex-military sniper, who goes down to Texas to rid them of their, to this big ranch to rid them of their feral hog problem. And the hogs have gotten super intelligent and they organize and they fight back. So that's a, and then they ultimately, they put the ranch under siege. So that's a, it's a real adventure story within which, the main character interacts with all these crazy people that are on the ranch and also has various encounters with the hogs. And then we have separate circumstances with the hogs as well. So, and the hogs kind of talk English telepathically. So
where do you get these ideas from? Are you like a serious drinker or...
I have no idea where this came from, but it started, I came out of, I mean, let me say this, feral hogs are a big problem in Texas. I know somebody who was driving back from Houston to Dallas at night and they hit a feral hog and it basically destroyed their car. I mean, these beasts are 200, 300 pounds. And, so it is a huge problem, and I started thinking about that, and then I kind of had this vague recollection of this book called Animal Farm. You might have heard of it by this English guy, Orwell, George Orwell, and kind of started to put that together. And then I don't outline or anything, so it just kind of wrote itself.
Okay, how do you spell that Orwell? I maybe I'll look up some of them.
Starts with an O.
Oh, okay. I'll write this down because I'm going to look up these writers and see if I can maybe I can get him on the show too.
Well, okay. You just have to use the same Ouija board.
Well, then it'd make it worthwhile. If I'm going to go to Walmart and fight the crowd to get a Ouija board, I better.
Yeah, they're probably having a 2-for-1 special now because they're trying to get rid of their excess inventory.
Yeah, well, yeah, because it's summer, right? You know, if this was Halloween, it'd be high priced, you know. Right. How come everything else is going up, but not Ouija boards? Well, so what do you hope people get take away from your book? But like, so if I read Hog Wild, it sounds like it's a real wild excursion. Like you have a lot of everything going on in this. Is this a purely fun, entertaining book?
Well, I mean, that's certainly about 75% of it, in the sense that that's my first goal in writing, is that I want you to be entertained. I want you to keep turning those pages, and I want you to keep laughing. And then in the end, I want you to think about what feral hogs people are. Because, you know, we're a pretty, I mean, one of the problems with feral hogs is that they decimate the environment. And we as people are certainly pretty good at that also. As I think one or two news media outlets have been talking about for, you know, maybe the last 10 years or I don't know. So I hope people get something more out of it than just laughs, and a fast-paced story. But you know, if that's all they get, that's not too bad either.
You know, I'm wondering too. With admittedly, say that you know, you have a lot of sex in the book. There's you know, listed in the blurb as a nympho daughter, and I'm just wondering. You know, do you ever worry about? Do you self-censor? Do you ever worry about political correctness or anything when you create these, or you just? Put it out and not worry about it.
Well, first of all, my take on sex in my books tends to be on the funny side. I mean, you know, two people, one on top of the other, pretty funny. And so that's part of it. And the other part of it is I didn't start writing until I was, as I mentioned earlier, until I turned 54. And I'm now 20 years later, still writing, which is a miracle. But I don't write for an audience. I write for myself first and foremost. And things like cancel culture and political correctness and all of that stuff. I just can't be worried about that. Mm. So I don't approach, for example, sex, I don't think in a misogynistic way. I mean, I have the female character in this, one of the main female characters in the book is always lamenting about how, you know, she's ill-treated out here in the countryside, the rough countryside of Texas. There is no, you know, feminist movement on the ranch, if you will. And so these are pretty tough ladies as well. So they don't take any crap from anybody.
I wonder, how do you create these characters? Like, where do they come from? So you've got Ray Puzo, who's 34. Do you dream these up, or do you take them from people you know? Or where? How does something like that start?
Well, for example, the head hog is based on Donald Trump.
Oh, Tucker Carlson's going to be mad now at me again.
He's in there, too. They barbecue.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, great, great.
No, seriously, I don't know. I have just a very fervid imagination, and, the idea for Hog Wild got settled in my mind, and I just started writing the book, and I'm not one of these writers, you know, these very commercial writers that write series, and the outline, and everything is, you know, very... It's all very much a J-O-B. I'm too late in life to have another J-O-B. So I write these books for pleasure, for me and for the reader. And I wrote Hog Wild with no outline. I didn't know where it was going to go. I just had this guy show up at a famous hotel in Austin, Texas called the Menger, which where Teddy Roosevelt signed up his Rough Rider boys during the Spanish-American War. And so I chose that as the venue to open the story, and I have the ranch matriarch, Amanda Cross, sitting in the bar, swilling whiskey.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
And Ray Puzo comes in and gets interviewed, and that's the opening scene. And from there, it just proceeded for about 250 pages.
I'm wondering too, you know, coming at this a little later in life, and as you started to write, and these characters started to present themselves to you in your different books. How do you experience those characters? Can you hear them? Do you have an inner monologue? Is that how you create dialogue? Are you more seeing what's going on? Is it more of a visual experience for you? How does that work for you?
Well, definitely when I'm writing a book, I'm totally immersed in it. I mean, it becomes totally real for me. And I think that's what actually allows the story to flow, both in my subconscious and then, you know, when I sit down and start to put sentences together. To me, it's actually a totally crazy process because I don't really know where these characters come from. But they do, and they just want to come out. And once they're coming out, it's like I'm in their world, if you will. And each one has their own weird personality. And, you know, there's Ned Cross is the son, and he paints his nails different colors. And he's queer, and he has a relationship with the what I refer to as the house Mexican named Gomez, who everybody refers to as Gomesy. And so that's another one of the couple of the characters that you'll find in this book. And, of course, Amanda Cross is the matriarch, and there's just a bunch of crazy characters. There's also a lot of dark things going on, like the nymphomaniac daughter was actually raped by her father, and Amanda Cross, therefore, put a bullet in his spine, and he's now a total paraplegic. So there are dark things happening beneath the surface here. And, of course, one of the hogs gets killed and roasted, and you can imagine how that upsets the other hog.
This is very light fare. It's very easy.
But that's why it's full of funniness, because otherwise, you know, I mean, it's dark the same way that Harry Cruise book is dark, but the Harry Cruise book also actually has a lot of humor in it.
Yeah, well, you have to laugh at these things. So, I mean, I'm okay with all this stuff, but why did you get into writing later in life? Like, what was it that led you in that path? Like, how did Jonathan start doing this in his 50s?
Well, it was really something that I've always dreamed of doing. You know, I was a very bookish kid because we were always moving, so I was always the new kid at school and therefore kind of an outsider. And so growing up, books became very important to me. But then I got into this legal business working for a high-tech company, Nortel. And, you know, that and raising a family of three kids kind of took up most of my energy. But I always had in the back of my mind that I wanted to write books. And when Nortel went on the rocks, I had an opportunity to leave them before they totally crashed and burned and went into bankruptcy. I left them and started writing. And here we are 5 books later, and there's nothing I'd rather be doing than writing books in my, what do you call this, my shadow years? I don't know. It's just, it's a great pleasure to me to create a story. Can't think of anything I'd rather do. Don't play golf. Don't chase women. Happily married for 50 years.
There you go. So, but the question is, now the pig that got roasted, was that the one you made after Donald Trump. Oh, that's terrible. Or is that the Tucker Carlson one? But how do you get into the minds of these characters? Like, because you're obviously not all of these different people. You're not like so. I always kind of get fascinated with how you can get into the mind of, let's say, any of your characters that you're completely opposite of, and make it sound real. Do you go out and try it out, or?
I just think it's just my imagination, and I get lost in them. But I just wanted to let you know, by the way, that the hogs in this book have they're able to read, but they don't fully appreciate the history books that they get to read. So they have adopted names out of history that are just a little bit on the twisty side. So, for example, one of the hogs is named Idi Amin. And there's one named Dr. Geronimo Rex. And there's a Pol Pot Jr. and a Pol Pot Sr. And there's a Dr. Mengele. And, of course, the hogs have no idea that they've picked these names of horrible humans. A friend of mine, actually, another writer, her name is Vicki Hendricks. She wrote some very dark, sexy noir, mostly set in Florida. But she was kind enough to write a blurb for me. And she said, "Men are pigs and pigs are men." In Jonathan Wood's rambunctiously clever romp of a novel. So that, I thought, when she sent me that, I thought, that really sums it up. I mean, there's a satire in which the men behave badly and the pigs behave badly. So, and we all have lots of laughs watching them do that.
Sounds wild.
Yeah.
It's too bad I can't hold up the cover for you. It's a dark blue cover with orange lettering, and it has a huge feral hog on it.
Well, I mean, we can just imagine Donald Trump and kind of get that idea. But, you know, he can't read, so there's no way that was
that's true. He needs a seven-word briefing.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So where do you see yourself going with this now that you've got a few books under your belt, so to speak, and you're kind of moving forward? What's going to happen now? Are you going to keep on doing this?
Yeah, I like to write both novels and short stories. I mean, novels take a big commitment. It takes a year or even 2 years to really finish a novel. So I like to go back and forth between novels and short stories. So of my five books, three of them are novels and two of them are short story collections. And I'm now working on a new book of short stories. There's a real pleasure, at least to me, in writing a short story where you work on it feverishly for maybe 2-3 weeks and have a great piece of work and you put it aside for maybe a month to let it kind of effervesce and do its thing in your brain. And then you take it back and you do some, you know, final polishing. And there is this thing. And so it's fantastic writing a short story that you can have the satisfaction of creating it within a relatively short period of time. My novels actually have all been written in writers groups, which is a way of kind of forcing you to create. No one wants to show up for one of the sessions where you go over someone's pages. You don't want to show up without any new pages. So it kind of inspires you to avoid being a slacker, which, you know, it's very easy to do, as I'm sure you're aware.
Well, I wouldn't belong to a writer's group because they're all pigs.
So then you like to suffer as a slacker, is that?
Yeah, I'm a slacker. I do a couple of books a year, so I'm taking it easy. You know, but that's okay. That's what we do here.
You know. So, you know, I'd love to have somebody pick up one of my books and make a movie out of it. That would be great fun. I actually did that. I was living in Key West, and I met a young filmmaker named Quincy Perkins, and we collaborated on making a 25-minute film based on a short story I wrote called Swingers Anonymous. And it was actually quite, it played the film festival circuit. So it, you know, it premiered in the Key West Film Festival, and then it went on to play in LA and New York and Miami and Vancouver and San Antonio, where the head of the festival gave me prime time screening at 9 o'clock on Saturday. I referred to the movie as the titty movie. It was have some partial nudity in it. And then it actually went on to Cannes. It played at Cannes, and the director and I went over there and had a blast. So that was a high point.
Well, mentioning that with the, you know, working with a movie, screenplay, what have you, short fiction, novel. Did you have a preference in one of those? Is there one that you like to do more than the others?
To have made into a movie?
Or just to create yourself? You know, do you prefer to write short fiction, or do you consider yourself, you know, kind of like a natural short story writer or a natural novelist?
Well, I mean, my novels are just harder to write because they're so long. You know, it's much more of a slogging experience. So, but I like to write both. I mean, I don't think Hog Wild would have succeeded as a short story, for example. I think you have to get the whole scope of, you know, the characters discovering that the hogs are super intelligent and so sort of waking up to that fact, and then the hogs deciding they're not going to stand for being slaughtered, they're going to fight back, and then there's various back and forth. And there's a, for example, there's a very funny scene where the ranch people decide to attack the hogs with barrel bombs. So they're flying the barrel bombs over a hog feeding gathering in the wetlands around the rivers, and one of the guys that's helping with the move the barrel bombs around in the cargo hold somehow lets go of the hand strap that he's holding on to, because I guess because they open the door of the plane to push the barrel bomb out, and the wind blows his long hair into his face, and he tries to wipe the hair out of his face, and he realizes he's let go of the strap that he's hanging on to, and the next thing you know, he goes out the door followed by the barrel bomb. So it's a very funny scene. It doesn't sound that funny, but it is a very funny scene. So anyway, the whole scope of it, and you know, at the end of the story, the hogs basically put the ranch under siege, and our hero Ray Puzo manages to escape by the skin of his teeth. So it's a you know, it's a real wild adventure story as well as a Rabelaisian comedy.
So how are you with the social media and website and all that stuff? Do you have social media, and do you like to interact with people that read your books, or do you have a website? Let's give all your information.
Yes, I have my website is www.southernnoir. That's two N's together there. Southern Noir, no spaces, .com. And I'm also on Facebook. I haven't graduated. I think I'm not young enough to graduate to some of the other media, like Instagram or TikTok. Although I've been working on a dance step for TikTok.
Yeah, I would get on that one. You know, that's where you're going to go wild, hog wild. Okay, just throwing that out there. Well, of course, we'll have that up on our website, and we'll have everything so people can find you with one click and tune into your soon-to-be-released TikTok station where you're dancing with the hogs, you know, and stuff like that. And how was the COVID? Like, did the COVID interfere with your writing at all? Or
No, actually, it was very helpful. Because writing is a lonely existence, and you know, it's in a room with the door closed. And I really got back into writing short stories, and a number of them have actually been published online. There are two websites that have very current stories by me. One is called, one website is called Yellow Mama, which is the name that was given to Georgia electric chair, because when they built it back in the 30s, it was in a, put it built in a building that was right next door to a highway maintenance department. And there was all this yellow paint in the maintenance department for painting the yellow lines on the highway. And so they just took some of that paint and painted the electric chair yellow. And it became known as the Yellow Mama. And then the other website where you can find some of my stories is called, appropriately, Horror Sleaze Trash. You know, I'm a really budding highbrow literary writer, as you can tell.
I was going to say, geez, even I can't make those websites.
I know. It takes a lot.
I'm doing it wrong. I'm doing something wrong because I just can't get there. I don't know what's going on.
So if a reader wants to read some of my stories, they go to these websites and there's an index or a question kind of thing, and they can put my name in, Jonathan Woods, and lo and behold, something funny and nasty will come up.
It always happens. If you wait long enough, something nasty comes up. Anyway,
from the basement, right?
Always. You know, basement's the best place to be, you know. Wow. Okay. So,
for your Canadian audience, by the way, did I mention that I'm a McGill graduate? I mean, McGill University prepared me for this incredible literary renaissance that's come by me in my old age.
Now, the book we're talking about is called Hogwild.
That's right.
And the guest is the author of that book, Jonathan Woods. And what can I say? Thank you for coming on the show.
Hey, Alan, it was great fun indeed. I really appreciate your having this kind of whacked out American come up and be on your show.
Thanks, Jonathan.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.